Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome along to the Short Ball, everybody. Rugby Pass podcast with Scotty Stevenson and Ali Williams joining you. It's playoff time, buddy.
Why does your name go first?
Welcome along to the Short Ball with Ali Williams and Scotty Stevenson. It's a Rugby Pass podcast. Is that better?
No, I prefer it the other way.
Welcome along to the Short Ball with Scotty Stevenson and Ali Williams. It's a Rugby Pass podcast. And today, Ali, we've had a listener request.
Yes.
More Jimmy Cowan stories. more Jimmy Cowan stories. So from now on, you've got to come up with one good Donga Cowan story a week.
A week?
Yeah, one a week. We don't want to flood the listeners with Jimmy Cowan stories. So I'm going to give you the entirety of the podcast. Just keep that bubbling away in the back of that ample cranium of yours, and see if you've got one for us.
It's got to be relative. I'm not just going to bring out a
relevant or relative.
Relevant. I'm not just going to bring out of a story out of.
No. It's got to be relevant. Well, if you don't have a Jimmy story today, then just keep this top of mind. I mean, I'm all forgiving the list. Are you turning me down again?
Yeah.
You love turning me down.
Nah, it's
so just, good for my self-confidence. Can I just put your microphone in front of your face?
You want to hear me?
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
Hello, producer Ellis.
Oh, no.
Oh, hang on. Producer Ellis hasn't got her mic.
Hi.
Hey, how you going, mate?
I'm well, thanks. How are you two?
You excited about the Super Rugby playoffs?
I'm so excited.
You're pumped up, eh?
I'm pumped up.
Pumped up. Blues fans are always pumped up this time of year.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because we look forward to the following year. We're full of hope.
Is next year the Blues year? So that's going to be our first. That's our first agenda topic today.
I can't understand how people talk. The agenda is going into a quarterfinal. Is it the Blues year next year? It's just so painful. Eh? Poor buggers. Mind you, they're not helping themselves. I mean,
well,
let's be honest.
Can I?
Were they up what? 23 points.
Let's just let that out easy. Let's not start the podcast in this fashion. We're going to talk under 20 World Cup today. Okay. Some amazing results in the under 20 World Cup. I'm going to get your thoughts about the World Cup itself, the Junior World Championship. Mm-hmm. We're also going to talk all the quarterfinals, game by game. Wamsy. We're going to get your predictions from that. We are going to talk about Beauden Barrett. Is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming to the Blues? Is he coming? Is he coming? Is he coming? We're going to talk about the French top 14.
Oh, yeah.
And the scenes in Toulouse.
Amazing, eh?
And your old mate, Lommy, Jerome Kainal, captaining that side.
Was he actual captain?
He was captain for the game. We're going to talk about that.
His first season.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit later in the show. And we're going to finish up with a few odds and ends in the rugby world. So a few things that are exercising my brain at the moment. But first of all, on the agenda today, let's talk about the Blues.
The Blues?
Let's talk about the Blues. Now, look.
I'll just sum it up.
Yep.
So the Blues had patches of good rugby. They had individuals that played rugby well.
Yes.
That pushed their stake, but they didn't have a collective season that gives the people a bit of hope that, oh, there's more. But, you do have to say that individuals like Tom Robinson, Clifford.
I can't believe you've given Tom Robinson your brother's name. Well, that's the harshest thing ever.
He's a newer version.
It's like committing.
He's a newer version with longer hair and a bigger carcass.
It's like nicknamed fratricide.
It's basically a version of my brother that could go to the gym. Because both my brother and I couldn't go to the gym. It's not an hour.
Okay. So you've got a shining light. You've got Tom Robinson. Is that all?
I think you also look at a player like Harry Plummer. I think he came on a lot. I don't think he's at that level. I think the season will be pivotal for him as a rugby player. He's either going to go away and say, right, if I look at this and I'm really harsh on myself, we could potentially be in the final if I made some of those kicks. And he's either going to go...
Gee, that's tough on him.
Yeah, but that's his position. And that's
his job.
That's his job. And I think he's either going to go, I want this, and I can genuinely steer this team to a greater future. Or, it's all right. Like, I did all right. Like, it was a pretty good season. Like, I did all right.
And, so where would you evaluate him? On a scale of 1 to 10, how would you evaluate where Harry Plummer is right now as a professional playing as a franchise 10?
As a franchise 10 at the moment, I think he's probably sitting around the 6. I think if he nails his kicks, he's up to a 7, 7.5. I think that is the importance of kicking goals. You've got to kick them, and I think generally around the play, he's got a lot of energy. Defensively, he gets stuck into it. I think he can work with the Blues and their style. I wouldn't say it was an average season. I wouldn't say it was a great season. I would just say it was a season that sort of produced a little bit more questions rather than answers, unfortunately.
I'm going to throw something out at you, because now for what seems like an eternity, it's the same line about the Blues every year. They need a 10, 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 they need a 10. Who was the last great Blues halfback?
Steve Devine. Maybe before that.
My point being,
David Gibson.
Are we putting too much pressure on the 10 without sorting out the guy inside? Because I don't think Jonathan Rudu or Sam Nock or Augie Puller could stand up this season and say they've been at their best.
You know,
now,
what?
Some of the performances.
You watch a lot of rugby, and I really respect what you're saying. You're bang on here.
Some of the people in the pack can probably put their hand up, like Tom Robinson. Jimmy Parsons gives us all week in, week out. I think some of the front row play has been great. I think Blake Gibson's had some good moments, so has Papali'i.
Papali'i's played outstanding, I think.
Right. Now, everyone's focusing on Harry Plummer or Teddy Black at 10, but I think the Blues have got some issues at halfback, and I don't mean that as any offence to those players, but it's not just about the 10 in a game of rugby. The teams that are winning, Bryn Hall and Mitch Drummond, that combination at the Crusaders, Aaron Smith at the Highlanders, TJ Petanutta at the Hurricanes, Brad Weber at the Chiefs. Now, I'm afraid that this year, Rudu, Pulu, Nock are not in the same conversation. They're not in the same league. Not a chance. And they could be, but they're not. And yet we're still focused on what the 10 is doing at the Blues. And I think that is putting so much pressure that it's just become a self-fulfilling prophecy. No 10 is going to operate in a game well unless he's getting the right service from his 9. And the style of play that those 9s have brought to the Blues this year, I think, has been the antithesis of what their 10s have required. They needed quick ball, a quick pass, give them time on the ball to make decisions, and they're not getting it. They've got enough ball from that forward platform, and somewhere in that halves link, it's not working. I don't think it's fair to lay all the blame at the feet of those first fives. I just don't. I think the entire halves combination needs a reworking at the Blues. They need to go after a halfback who wants some game time. And right now, I would be going after a Mitch Drummond. I'd be going after an Eni Inari. I'd be going after a Bryn Hall. Hell, I'd be going after anyone right now to say, I need a franchise 9.
What about T?
Totoro Tahurirangi. Yeah. Well, he's not getting any game time at the Chiefs.
Can I just say something?
Yeah.
That is one of the most educated statements that I've heard you say in a long, long time.
Yeah, I'm operating
completely on respect it. I want to actually retract what I was saying before around Harry Plummer and stuff like that. And I want to look at it more in a general partnership in 9 and 10, like you looked at it. I think that's fantastic. I think that's magical.
We talk about halves.
We should forward this to Leon McDonald.
We talk about halves.
Yeah.
That's in the game now, you talk about a 9 and a 10 and the combination they provide in all those great teams. You can say what you like about Michael Liner. Nothing without Nick Farr-Jones.
No, exactly.
You can say what you like about
Andrew Mertens.
Nothing without Marshy.
There was
Marshy.
A feral man called Marshy on side.
You know, they've all had a great nine who understands their play,
Dan
knows
Carter,
how to hit them.
Inside, who was inside Dan Carter for so long? A madman called Jimmy Cowan.
There's your Jimmy Cowan story. It's coming out.
Came out of the South.
Well, they're
those
great
two
mates.
Used to be absolute mongrels. You know, they used to train together. Dan and Rich, Jimmy, they used to train together, do weights together. They just got so thin.
And they know
and then they started
and they knew
the
each
ab
other,
committee.
Right?
Then they started ab committee. And they just kept, at night, they'd ring me. Come on, mate, ab committee,
ab committee.
I was like, what is this? And we'd do abs about 9 o'clock at night.
What?
When we're on holidays.
What? Just when you're on holidays?
Well, not holiday, but sorry, when we're on tour.
And you'd go into one
committee.
Of the rooms and go and do crunches.
Like 300 crunches.
Was there a beer waiting at the top of each crunch? It'd have to be something.
Well,
it'd have to be a carrot for you to do crunches.
It definitely was something. It definitely was a beer or two. No, that was Jimmy. Eh? He was so obsessed with looking good. He did look good, though, eh?
Oh, he was in great shape.
Apart from that ink that he put on himself.
Tell you what, he's still in great shape. I saw him playing in the Blair Vining Invitational match back in late January.
Oh, yeah.
Down there in Mighty Winton, and he's still got it. He's still got the glazed eye look too. If someone crosses him, even in a fun social game,
he'll go for it.
He had a day off the oyster boats, mate. He was ready to roll. Anyway, that's my 2 cents worth, which brings us neatly. Actually, I'm going to pick up on another point you made. You talked about collective.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, right, for me. It's the collective here.
Yeah.
And the Blues do have individual athletes. We know that. They've got some players who can break games, do some magical things. Melanie Nanai had the season of his career.
Most running meters in the tournament.
But kind of gets lost in the general...
Blues.
Yeah.
Blues newspaper article.
Yeah, that's,
they let
that's
us down
kind
again.
Of, yeah, it's kind
the Blues
of
a, had so much potential. They let us down
I
again.
Just, I can't wait to see that team develop a collective sense of self. That's more than just, gee, we're disappointing.
So the question is, we just talked about that, then... Bowden Barrett coming to the Blues. Is that going to change?
Is that happening?
It probably is.
And that brings us neatly to the Bowden Barrett situation because we've heard this before, right?
John Kerwin tried to get him. We did everything to try and get him a few years ago.
Yeah, and last time he had a contract negotiation, it was all about he's coming to the Blues. And, you know, I'm sure there's a little bit of let's pump up the prices here and Bowden Barrett's important. Bowden Barrett is going to go away after this World Cup, likely to Japan.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to do the same deal that Brady Retallick's going to do and others are going to do, and he's going to be given that sabbatical because he's an important player to New Zealand. So if you're the Blues right now and you know that you're not going to have him next year...
Why would you chase him?
Are you going to chase him? And then what are you saying to Harry Plummer and Ortiz Black or anyone else that you want to come and develop into the team that, hey, mate, you've got a year contract because Bowden's coming?
Yeah.
I think it's fool's gold. Right now, unless you're going to tell this guy you're contracted through to 2024.
And I wouldn't challenge your opinion on a day like today.
Why?
Because you're so bang on the mark.
I
think he wants to come here for... I definitely think Bowden wants to come here for...
Family reasons.
Family reasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's great. But this team needs a leader.
Well, mate, they need a genuine... I'm going to hold my head up and I'm going to pin my rugby career... on turning the Blues around. They need a 10 like that.
That's a
9 and 10 combination that says this is what we're going. A little bit like what TJ and Bowden did to the Hurricanes.
Right.
A little bit like what Aaron Smith is doing with the Highlanders.
Well, Aaron and Lima Sopawanga are a great combination for that team.
Exactly,
right?
Exactly. And that's what we need. We've got someone in Harry Plummer.
Mm-hmm.
We need a 9 that's just going to go, yep, I'm going to play behind that forward pack. And there's plenty of people out there. Man, that's a good forward pack.
I know.
You get good ball.
I know.
You've got an all-black front row. You've got an all-black, you've got an all-black second row. And you've got flankers on the edge that, you know, they're challenging all-black positions. I mean, Jesus.
You okay?
Well, why wouldn't you? If you're 9, why wouldn't you come?
Oh, but that's what I'm saying. And the thing is, if I'm Bowden Barrett and I'm a world-class 10 and I'm a two-time winner of World Player of the Year, that's a stipulation for me.
Yeah.
I'm picking my 9.
Yeah, I'm
100% going to bring a 9 with me.
I'm coming with a 9. Who he should put an arrow advert in the Herald or maybe on...
In the classifieds?
Classified, yeah.
Right under Hilda, 54, BBW, that sort of thing.
Exactly that, mate. Yeah. Exactly that.
I don't know if you get him under the Hot 6 classified columns.
Hot 6?
Yeah, you know you get the Hot 6 ads.
sumo.
You do? Oh, you know the ones I mean.
I've never seen Hot Six in
the
Herald.
Don't you read the classifieds in the Herald?
No, I do not read the classifieds.
You might have one of those services operating next door to you and you don't even know it.
Yeah,
might be an escort in your building, in your house, and it could be in your basement, for all you know.
Well, actually, my basement is actually just, there's no basement. I've dug under my house. At the moment,
have you started a sex dungeon under your house?
No, at the moment, I'm excavating my house to put a basement in my house.
Yeah.
And so I've got...
Is your house up on those jacks? You've jacked your house up.
This is honestly...
Are we going into renovation segment here?
This is unbelievably nerve-wracking.
It's also expensive.
Oh, you're telling me. Lucky no one's fulfilled my challenge of the rugby pass.
Oh, there's still time.
The Toulouse boys should have done it.
The Phuket, I'm glad you brought up Toulouse. Did you see those scenes?
What a segue.
Did you see those
scenes? We're good together, aren't we?
What about it?
This, honestly, you don't want to bring it off that to... What your experiences, but my experience is top 14 when we won.
Yeah, I want to be.
And then you want to push it back to what they're doing now, and it is just unbelievable. The French, it is honestly revered as the most sacrificial, sacred trophy in French rugby.
Mm-hmm.
The top 14, the Brunus, the Bouclier, and it apparently brings luck to your town.
Really?
Yeah, it brings luck to your town. And then so basically the next year they just parade it around and everyone tries to touch it because it brings luck to
your
town.
Like the Ranfurly Shield.
Yeah, it was. The old Ranfurly Shield, this is exactly what it is, but it's still alive and kicking. So what Toulouse would have had 300,000 people.
Yeah, it was massive.
In the square. Unbelievable. We had something like 300,000 people crammed into Toulon little village, hanging off lampposts for 8 hours just to see a bunch of morons come in who had over-intoxicated.
Well-steamed.
The bus couldn't get into where we were meant to go, so we actually had to get a boat around the harbour to come in to the harbour to see everyone because the bus couldn't get in. It was like the police were like, mate, there's too many people.
So what did you do? Just reverse out, get on a boat.
Like, beep, beep, let's go. We've got to go to the three bays along, get on a boat and travel.
Was this after winning the French top 14 or winning the European?
Well, we won the European and then we went basically straight from London. London? Yeah, straight from London to Paris. We didn't even go home.
I'm glad you can't remember this.
Yeah, we didn't even go back to Toulon, and then we were straight there, and then we won, and then that's when we came in to Toulon. It was insane. So Toulouse will be going off, because they haven't won for a while, actually.
No, 10 years.
10 years, they haven't won for a while. And so, then you've got one of the greatest blues men of all things.
I'm glad you brought this up.
And he's heading it up.
And so Jerome Kainor plays a million games for the Blues, never gets anywhere near a title. Goes away to France, first year, captains the team in the final and wins a title. You know what I'm happiest most about? That he gets a chance to do that.
Yeah, and Charlie Farmoina.
Yeah, Peter Arquis there as well.
It's a Blues alumni program.
That's beautiful, what it is.
It's beautiful.
All the ex-Blues have gone to France and they've won a title finally. I think there's a great story in that about these guys who are finally
Joe Tacori. Joe Tacori is still there.
Fritz Lee was playing that game too, not a Blues man, but from the Blues region. There you go. Toulouse, alive and
honestly,
kicking. I saw those pictures, though.
Unbelievable.
And here's the other thing. I know we talk a lot about the All Black jersey and keeping these players here and finding ways and sabbatical clauses and what have you. Nothing in New Zealand compares to that.
No.
It doesn't matter which team wins Super Rugby. You are not getting 300,000 people to a street parade that your bus can't get into.
Honestly, some of the memories that I've got from that little 2 years or 3 years in France are insane in terms of a rugby ethos where they hold the game, the respect, and just how avid they are. My first game, I was playing, it was pretty average, and then I started rucking someone, got yellow carded.
What, for rucking?
I was like, oh gosh, now it's going to be a nightmare. No one's going to like me. But, mate, I got cheered. I was, wow, you're a legend. I was like,
what, when you got yellow carded?
Yeah. I was like, do they even know this game? No. Doesn't matter, mate. If you're a mongrel, you're all go. That's why Jerome will be doing so well and so highly revered in Toulouse and French rugby is because of his tough edge. Chris Marsoi is a king over there.
Totally.
Absolute king over there. Totally. Charlie Farmoina
He's back in New Zealand at the moment, Chris Marsoi.
Yeah. He comes back every now and then.
Yeah.
He's coaching. coaching racing.
He's a very good man, Chris Maxwell.
Great human being.
He's had a great career in France. I'll give you the tip.
It's still going to go too, yeah, exactly. I would say.
Hey, I was doing the Junior World Championship today, calling the games for Spark Sport.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Here in New Zealand. And here's a story for you. Have you ever had a game called off for the risk of a lightning strike?
No.
Because I've never seen it in a game of 15s. I saw it at the World Cup sevens in Russia, I think it was. They had to leave the field because of the threat of lightning. Today, 28 minutes into New Zealand's fifth place semi-final against Wales, with Wales leading 5-0, they leave the stadium. Not only the players, the entire stadium is evac'd.
Yeah.
And they're off the field for about an hour because of the threat of a lightning strike. I have never seen it, and there was a game going That's on right. down the road. One of the other semi-finals was happening, you know, I don't know, 8Ks away.
Evac.
Same thing. Evac. And then they came running back in and played the rest of the first half, then ran off again, had their halftime break, came running back on. New Zealand lost, by the way. Wales won 8-7. Good for Wales. Just the second time they've beaten New Zealand. In fact, Wales inflicted New Zealand's first ever loss at that tournament, and that was way back in 2012 from memory.
Oh, yeah.
So just the second time they've won, but a well-deserved victory for them. So New Zealand will have their worst place finish at a junior championship ever.
That's not great, year. Is it?
So the best they can hope for now is seventh.
That's all right, though. They can turn it around.
They can turn it around. Well, turn around. You know, it's just a shame.
The All Blacks did. I was on a flight the other day, and honestly, I was so bored, so bored. I just didn't know what to do with myself.
Did you watch all the movies?
I watched that.
Did you watch Top Gun?
No, Chasing Great.
The Richard McCaw movie.
The Richard McCaw movie.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, better watch it.
What, no good?
He's a legend, eh?
Yeah.
Sometimes I text him. I said, mate, I hope you realise, I hope every now and then you just sit back and reflect on what you did. You're a pretty amazing human being.
Did he reply?
Yeah, he said, yeah, I'm just living a normal life. I thought, yeah, magic. What, flying helicopters every day?
Yeah, exactly.
Hell of a normal life, human. No, I just looked at it and I was like, it did sum him up. Like, as a human, during those World Cups, it was just like, oh, you're so painful, mate. Talk to someone else. Because he wouldn't talk to us. He was so embedded in what he was doing. It was unbelievable.
He wouldn't talk to you?
No, he was just, there was no stone that he wasn't going to unturn in the World Cup. It was just, so I was the same as Dan. We just said, mate, talk to us when we win this thing.
The interesting thing about that film for me is that it kind of opens the door very, very slightly on Richie McCaw, but then shuts it again.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't give
before
you much.
Before you get to know him. And, yeah. And I thought to myself, because I know that some people criticised it because it didn't reveal enough about Richie McCaw, and I said, no, it said everything you need to know about the guy. And my limited experience of him personally, that was kind of him. He'd give you enough. He'd give you a little peek once in a while, and then he'd shut the door on you.
Yeah.
Just because he was somehow managed to keep that personal life very personal.
Well, I did so I did about a 3-hour interview for it, basically telling the other side of Richie, the one that I know.
Did he cut you?
There was not 1 second of my interview. Not 1 second.
3 hours and you got cut. The whole lot.
I was like, mate, can I get that 3 hours? Lot. The whole lot. I was like, can I get that 3 hours back?
Why don't we release that as the unauthorised, just Do it. You do it on your own steam. That's your stuff. Surely it's copyright.
That is my stuff, but I don't.
Yeah. What did you? I mean, what were you talking about?
It would be so box office, wouldn't it? No, honestly talking about the real Rich. You know, like he did say something right in there. It was like, I've devoted so much to rugby, I didn't really look at the other side of life, and that was the bit that I kept pulling him out of and trying to get him into the other side of life. And
did you try to get him off the rails?
Not off the rails.
Did you try to lead the greatest of all time astray?
Oh, gosh.
See, this is the problem. That now the
things that I'm associated with is just horrific.
I didn't mean those rails.
I mean, try to broaden his horizon to life outside Alpha Rugby Field. We went flying together. We flew model planes. We lived together.
Put with McCaw. We've covered this on the podcast before. You were put with McCaw so that you wouldn't go off the rails when you went to Crusaders. You were sitting there going, I'll go live with Dan Carter. They went, No, you won't. You'll go live with Captain Tackles and you'll
Captain
be happy.
Captain Tackles, mate. And we'd have our meat and three veg. He loves the kitchen, eh?
Is he a good cook?
He's pretty stock standard farming type of cook.
Meat and three,
but he gets in there like, I'm like, bro, let's just whack some Uber Eats and get some Thai or something like that. Snitchel in the fridge. Oh, I have
I can just imagine him saying that too.
And I'd be like,
snitchel in the fridge.
Snitchel. And I'd be like, mate, okay, you nail it. I'll do the dishes. Yeah, it was classic.
I'd
be like, what should we do? Should we go and get an ice cream or something? He's like, probably go and read my book. Oh, there you go, mate. So we're like,
not a single frame of your interview made that film?
Nah, not one single frame, one second. Painful, eh?
God, even I made it. Hey, let's get to the quarterfinals.
You made it,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, calling him Captain Tackles.
Yeah.
I know.
I'm gutted.
I even got a credit on, what is that? What is that, Alice? What's that movie website thing? IMDb?
Yeah.
IDB,
IMDb.
Yeah. Credit. Whatever. Crusaders Highlanders. Mate. Crusaders, top dogs. Highlanders sneak in an eighth. But they're miracle men, the Highlanders.
Chiefs, mate.
This is not a lay down mazir for me for the Crusaders. Is it a lay down mazir for you?
Yeah.
Crusaders all the way. Not even a question mark. Not even a hint that they can be pierced, penetrated, punctuated. Nothing.
Sounds like that ugly penetrated. Guy. This sounds like that ugly guy with bad BO and stuff going out on the night on Saturday night.
Sounds like we're back in the classified section.
He's got no chance.
We can stop it short if you like. If the Crusaders are going all the way, they're going to welcome back Owen Franks. They're going to welcome back Cody Taylor. They've got Joe Moody in the mixer. They're basically rolling an All Black side.
I just don't see it down there. I see the grind getting to the Highlanders. The Highlanders have got to play an expansive game to try and beat the Crusaders. Crusaders have they've scored the most tries off kick returns. See, I've been doing some stats.
You have. Yeah. Are you on Sky tonight? You've had to bone up on some stuff. That's right. It's not for this podcast.
It's for this podcast.
It's not for this podcast. I want to give
the listeners real stats here.
Yes,
and so they've scored the most tries off kicks received. But I personally think that's their one weakness. If you can put pressure on their wingers. Their back three, not their full back, because it gives them too much space to move. You've got to put it in the corners and really pepper those two right-hand tram lines, and that's when you attack from.
Yeah, well, that's pretty standard philosophy, though, right? If you pin someone in the corner and they can't exit, you're talking high balls.
I'm talking contestable.
The return of the Gary Owen.
Contestable kicks in the flanks. That's how I think you beat the Crusaders.
Well, the Highlanders are pretty good at it. They got some good chases too.
They do.
Lee and Wysocki Naholo.
Exactly. So that's where I think they need to go. It's a boring game, but it's away from what they originally do. With you know, they do like to spread it, but hit it here first. That's the only way the Highlanders will win.
Wow,
it's hard as a forward pack. Owen Franks, the big boys. You're going back into those pockets every time. Naturally, you've got to go back into those pockets, so you gravitate more into the pocket, into the trams rather than to the centre of the field. And the ball is contestable. It's hard to launch anything from.
Yeah. Look, I'm not disagreeing with you. Okay, Hurricanes taking on the Bulls. I don't give the Bulls a shit show in hell of winning in Wellington after having to fly back across the Indian Ocean, then across the Tasman, then back into Wellington. It'll be miserable. It'll be windy. It'll be shite.
Yeah, unfortunately, they got nothing. But they did all right this season, the Bulls.
Yeah, they love a draw. They love a draw, the Blue Bulls. Brumbies taking on the Sharks. The Sharks can do this, but probably won't. But the Sharks could.
I think the Sharks will. I think the Brumbies game is line-out drives.
Your tipping's been good this year too.
The line-out drives are the Brumbies game, and I think the Sharks can contest there.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that to me is the one South African side I can see actually getting up here. Well, that's not true because the
Jaguares
are in the South African Conference. They host the Chiefs. I spoke to a Chiefs insider, and it is all confidence.
You're always inside.
It's all confidence in Chiefs mana. They reckon they've got the soft side of the draw. They avoid the Hurricanes. They avoid that Crusaders. They go.
The one team the Jaguares didn't want to play?
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Why? Because the Chiefs love unstructured footy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Sam Kane is a freak. He's at 94% tackle.
How good?
He is just on fire.
It goes
to show the power of the brain and the power of the mind. The kid's been out for whatever, 9 months, whatever it was. The mental work he would have had, not only the physical work, we all know about that, we can all see that, but the mental work he would have had to have done to put his head back into some of those gruesome holes is unbelievable. And he is showing to everyone, yes, it's a physical game, but if you can get this right, you're a world beater. I mean, I reckon the conversations are all changing around the makeup of the All Black team now. I mean, he's got to be in there at seven.
Oh, he was always going to be in there. If he came back and could prove that he could do it again, he was always going to be the seven. And this is, 2 years ago, there was all the drums beating for Adi Savia, and with great reason.
And this year, mate,
he's a fantastic footballer. But I tell you what Sam Kane does. He puts a guy on his ass on a one-off run, and then he gets back up, and then he puts the next guy on his ass, and then he gets back up and he does it again, then on the fourth play he turns the ball over. It's that domination that the All Blacks like in their seven, and Sam Kane does it better than anyone. And I tell you, on the subject, speaking of domination, Kieran Reid in the Crusaders' last game, I know it was one-way traffic against the Rebels, his stats were off the charts. His dominant tackling, his gain line ascendancy, he was doing the things that everyone knows Kieran Reid could do, and he's done it very quietly with a lot of criticism hanging over his head. He's throwing short balls to set up tries. He's crushing blokes around the edges.
Things are starting to come all right, aren't they? Four teams in the playoffs.
Sneaking on in there.
We're just, mid-season we were...
Yeah, well, I tell you this much.
So if the Chiefs are going to win...
I'm still backing those Jaguares. I still back them to make the final. I think the Jaguares have got the run here because the Chiefs have had to fly over there. And yes, granted, they love unstructured footy. That's the way the Jaguares play, but they've been good at home. They were good on the road. They are a good team. They are deserving of their place as second highest qualifier. And they know that home advantage is on the line for the semi-final. They are going to be cock-a-hoop.
We agree to disagree, my good friend.
We can. I was going to say something else.
Adi Savia, sixth then?
Well, Adi Savia's in the team.
But is he starting?
Kane starts.
Yeah, but Adi Savia at sixth?
Reid at eight. And I think you've got Scott Barrett at six at the moment on form versatility.
I would agree with Scott Barrett at six, but I would challenge
him. And then you've got Adi Savia on the bench who's covering seven, eight, and six if need be. That's the ultimate utility to bring off the bench, isn't it? Now, that might not be what Artie said.
Scott Barrett going into lock.
Scotty Barrett can go into lock.
It's going to be an interesting makeup, though, those two reserves.
Yeah.
Real interesting makeup.
It is going to be an interesting makeup. We'll see what happens. Hey, speaking of interesting makeups, so here's the thing. Tony Brown's come back to New Zealand, right?
Yeah, the Claw.
The Claw is back. But he's got no real job at the Highlanders. So
isn't he taking Glax's job, Glenn Delaney's?
Well, maybe, but... He came back and said, he's back with us, but we haven't quite finalised the role for him. Do you think Tony Brown is on the ticket for Ian Foster to coach the All Blacks? Because I'm going to throw it out there. I think Tony Brown is dead set, come back at the behest of Ian Foster, saying, I want you on my ticket when I run for the All Blacks coaching job.
Well, have they worked together?
Nope.
Oh, that's.
But they know each other because obviously the All Blacks coaches are all up in everyone's grill about Super Rugby. We know what he can do. We know he's creative.
He's very creative.
We know the players respond to him. He's won a title with the Highlanders. I've got a sneaky feeling. And speaking of crazy appointments, here's another for you. Your old mate Dougie Howlett,
yeah,
back in Auckland.
Blues CEO.
100%.
Oh, beautiful.
If not the Blues CEO, then he is going to have a football job with the Blues. He is going. What did you just do there? You've said everything. Going banging on that table. We've got vibrations in the microphone. You've really banged the table for Dougie Howlett. He's got it right.
Alice sorted it out. Yeah,
Dougie Howlett at the Blues. I reckon he's going to come back as a general manager of football. Or possibly, I mean, look, Michael Redmond's job's going to be up for review again. Let's be honest.
Yeah, mate.
There's no improvement. But
With respect.
That's up to the board. But Doug Howlett coming back, I reckon he is magical. He is a dead set.
He's done his MBA.
He's worked with Munster. He's worked in Gaelic football. He's coming back. He's a Blues man. He knows it. He knows rugby. He knows management.
He knows how to win, mate.
And he's a winner.
Doug Howlett for CEO, 2 years, then go to the All Blacks.
Oh, just like that. I thought you were taking the CEO job.
I've had some thinking. I deserve it, but I don't think they'll give it to me. But I've had some thinking. To be honest, I wouldn't mind. A job like that would be really cool,
mm-hmm,
because you could make so much of it, mm-hmm, with your experiences overseas.
Mm-hmm.
You just understand. But, I mean, you just...
It's too much responsibility for you, mate.
They're not going to give it to someone like me.
No, they're not. No.
I'm just open-minded.
No, I'm...
Jeez, you're a loser.
Oh,
where did you start?
All right, I'm out.
Okay, see you later. Bye.
It's been the short ball for another week. Right, we'll continue this outside.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.